Right now, it's nearly 11:30 a.m. Time for Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF, Tampa. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals. As always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. It's Split Lip Rayfield with a song called Blue Tick Hound here on WMNF. That's Split Lip Rayfield with Blue Tick Hound, an animal song of sorts, is reason to today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF, and streaming live on the internet via the station's fabulous website, WMNF.org. My name is Duncan Strauss, and I'll be here till noon today with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Indeed, the show, now airing the first two Wednesdays of each month at 11:30 a.m., primarily seeks to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your phone calls and emails, from assorted other sources. But we're also quite interested in celebrating animals through music, comedy, and other means. We've always aimed for a spirited balance of those elements, as you can readily glean if you care to visit our website, talkinganimals.net. Indeed, the website offers archives of all our past shows, and we're podcasting on iTunes now, baby, including all our initial programs on WMNF, which have featured an array of illustrious figures from the animal world or notable folks from other fields who have a legitimate tie to animal welfare. Today's edition once again extends the show's tradition of speaking with fascinating folks from all walks of animal life, with the conversation we'll hear momentarily with our guest, Dr. Robin Cannizzaro, a St. Petersburg-based, actually not, but we'll correct that in a sec, holistic veterinarian. We'll find out more about the world of holistic veterinary medicine and her practice and animals she lives with and all kinds of other stuff. When we speak with Dr. Robin Cannizzaro in a few minutes here on Talking Animals, as usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. And just quickly for our usual animal news items and or announcements, just want to let you know about the Florida Animal Advocates Holiday Dinner in Orlando, Saturday, December 8th. It's going to feature Karen Davis. She's the president and founder in 1990 of United Poultry Concerns, a nonprofit organization that promotes the compassionate and respectful treatment of domestic fowl. In 2002, she was inducted into the U.S. Animal Rights Hall of Fame for outstanding contributions to animal liberation. I've actually heard her speak at a few different conferences, and she's fantastic. So, again, this is Saturday, December 8th, beginning at 6 p.m. in the Garden Cafe in downtown Orlando. And all proceeds from the evening will go to the United Poultry Concerns. So for more information or where to mail your checks, etc., email ruvegan, R-U, vegan, at cfl.rr.com. That's ru, vegan, at cfl.rr.com. Okay, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Mike Birbiglia with a portion of a piece called I'm Crazy and Gay Cats on today's Comedy Corner here on WMNF.
These two cats, and I think the cats were gay because they were always licking each other and spooning in the window and criticizing the way I dress. And I don't think it's a biological thing, like they're gay by birth. I think it's an environment thing, like they're prison gay. Like they don't see any female cats ever after a while. It's just like, look, Tony, we ain't getting any younger, buddy. This might be the catnip talking. I like the way your belly matches your paws. One day my girlfriend called me from work and she goes, you gotta take Tony to the vet. He's got a urinary tract infection. And I took him in, they gave me this questionnaire about the cat, but I didn't know the answers because it wasn't my cat. I only got two right. I got cat and male. It said breed, I wrote "gay". It said describe the reason you were here today, I wrote my girlfriend is at work.
All right, that was Mike Birbiglia with a portion of a piece called I'm Crazy and Gay Cats, taken from his album Two Drink Mike. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals on 88.5 FM. The station website is WMNF.org. The show website is TalkingAnimals.net, where not only all our past programs are archived, but many are now available as podcasts in iTunes. For example, our last show with singer-songwriter Nellie Mackay. We also have a blog, a link to the new Talking Animals MySpace. We're looking for friends, baby. We're looking for friends. There's also a place to subscribe to our semi-monthly email newsletter so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guests, program news, and more. And, of course, remind you when the next show will air right here on WMNF. So that's all found at TalkingAnimals.net. It's nearly time to meet today's guest, Dr. Robin Cannizzaro, so let me quickly outline a few important details about her. As I mentioned a moment ago, she's a holistic veterinarian, and after deciding more than a decade ago that she felt there were some pretty severe limitations in healing within the conventional realm of veterinary medicine, Dr. Cannizzaro altered her practice to offer classical homeopathic medicine, acupuncture and Chinese herbal medicine, nutritional consultation, and more. We'll also discuss the animals in her life, which include horses and bulldogs, two of which are right here in the studio with us, Travis and Tinkerbell. So, anyways, much to talk about. So with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Dr. Robin Cannizzaro to Talking Animals. Welcome, Dr. Cannizzaro.
Well, thank you so much for having me to this special, special station and program.
Absolutely. We're happy to hear and happy that you're here in person, in studio. We don't often get our guests in studio, much less with beautiful French bulldogs in tow. So,
I was so impressed with you, I had to come personally. And besides what Tinker and Travis said, you know, we have to go to the studio.
Cool.
There's no other way.
Well, they're smart dogs after my own heart. So in a conversation like this, I think it's kind of almost incumbent on us to start at the beginning, or in this case, the beginning of maybe your professional and sort of philosophical shift. So to sort of accomplish this, maybe you can first just tell us where and when you went to vet school.
I went to the University of Florida and graduated in 1991, and for the first year or two of practice, I did traditional veterinary medicine, what is commonly found out there, and I felt that there were a lot of limitations, and a friend of mine had taken the International Veterinary Acupuncture course and had become certified, talked to me about that, and I thought, you know, that's very interesting. I really want to find something that might get to the deeper level of healing and curing for animals. And so that started my path, and I went on from there to learn a variety of different modalities, my favorite of which is classical homeopathic medicine.
Well, we'll get into that in a sec. First of all, as you just kind of were responding there, I mean, you said you found some limitations. What would be an example or two, some things that kind of before you made the shift you sort of either brushed up against or felt were limitations you were increasingly maybe uncomfortable with?
Well, for example, in practice, I would see some of the same problems over and over again, skin problems or ear infections in dogs, skin problems in cats, and, you know, would use traditional medicine to treat these exactly as we were, you know, taught in veterinary school, and the problems continued to come back again. And sometimes we'd make excuses like the client didn't use medication long enough in the ears or, you know, so it was sort of their fault and that's why it didn't work out or whatever. And I just thought, you know, there must be a deeper reason. I mean, I never really believed the clients, if they missed a dose of ear medication, that was going to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd come back with the same frustrating problems. And, in fact, sometimes they'd be a bit angry with us.
Well, like, how come you're not curing my animal, basically?
And, yeah. You know, I thought, there's got to be something else. I mean, there must be a reason for which the animals are suffering from infections or inflammations, you know, all different sufferings. And there must be better ways to treat these so that we actually can cure and not just accept that this might be a long-term ongoing problem. And I wanted to see less suffering. And
sure.
That's a commitment that I made in veterinary school, and I wanted to follow through with that. So,
and that actually raises an interesting question. So were there times, even in vet school, where you maybe either had doubts about some of the conventional wisdom or maybe challenged some of the professors and stuff, or was it not kind of brewing that early in your training?
No, for me, I believe it was brewing earlier than that. I do recall one of the interesting things going through veterinary school is that we go system by system, learning systems. And at one time, we were talking about asthma in cats, and the practitioner at the time or the instructor at the time, he said, well, you know, I don't know why, but for some reason, a lot of asthmatic cats are also constipated. I just wanted to wake you all up this morning at 11:30.
Sure.
And, you know, I sat in my seat, and he just sort of passed it off as that, and that was just acceptable for him. And I thought, well, there must be a reason. There must be some kind of connection. Learning in traditional Chinese medicine and acupuncture, the lung and the large intestine are actually paired meridians. So it makes an awful lot of sense if you understand different types of medicines that can help explain the reasons for certain things being the way they are, and not just accepting them as being the way that they are. So while I didn't have the answer for why this connection existed, later on I did get the answer for that, and I thought I must be on the right path because these things simply make sense. Whereas just accepting, well, I don't know why this is the way it is, but we often see this, and then dismissing it at that just wasn't sufficient for me.
So that really sort of sounds like it launched you on a quest, really, to explore some alternatives that were going to answer those things more satisfactorily.
Absolutely. And I think I've always been an inquisitive person and wanted to really understand why things are happening versus just accepting, well, this disease, treat with this drug.
Mm-hmm.
And that just to me is very superficial, very simplified, and doesn't treat at a deep level. And I certainly have had experience to that effect, as well as certainly I've had a lot of experience to that effect. So I really was committed to doing a better job. I always am, and it's always going to be a learning quest from now till forever.
And let me just let our listeners know, remind them that this is Talking Animals on WMNF, and we're speaking with holistic veterinarian Dr. Robin Cannizzaro. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask Dr. Cannizzaro a question maybe about one of the animals that you share your home with, please call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. So what were the first really tangible things then that you, looking back, kind of would point to that sort of you changed in your practice or that reflected kind of this quest in a more significant way?
When I started to get brave enough to begin to use alternative methods for, and I hate using the word alternative because it kind of puts it as a second-class citizen, and I think they really stand together as very powerful possibilities for people and animals. And when I started to utilize some of these things and perform acupuncture, the arthritic patients got so much better without the side effects of drug therapy. And as I went along, I just gained more confidence because always when you're branching into something new, you think, well, I don't know, can this really treat this? And I found that there's nothing that holistic medicine can't treat. And so I made a commitment in the early 90s to basically do strictly holistic medicine.
Wow.
And what I mean by that is my first, you know, line of defense is to use a form of natural medicine. And I do still perform some, you know, more common soft tissue surgeries. And I'm not opposed to some surgeries. I refer some cases to traditional veterinarians or to internal medicine specialist surgeons, etc. So we have a place for all of these things. But my first line of choice for my own wellness care, my pet's wellness care, my family, and my practice is going to be a commitment to holistic medicine, for which generally that works better, you know, right from the beginning.
Sure.
The earlier the better.
Well, this perhaps not surprisingly has triggered a flood of calls. Let's take a few calls if you'd like, Dr.
Sure.
Cannizzaro.
Absolutely.
Hi, you're on WMNF with Dr. Robin Cannizzaro on Talking Animals. Are you there?
Hi.
Yeah. Hello, it's you. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay.
My name's Carrie. I'm calling from South Tampa. It's so funny that this is on right now. I went to bed at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
Because my dog, I just treated him with Frontline 2 weeks ago, and he is infested with fleas.
Hmm. Yeah. Any thoughts on that, Dr. Cannizzaro?
I have had experience where Frontline and other topical products are not working as they used to. But if you think about it, those critters, unfortunately, not our pets, but those critters will adapt to the drugs that are available out there. And so that's why we have an ever-changing flood of more pharmaceutical drugs to put on your pets. I friendly, in a friendly way, or try to be friendly, consider those poisons. I'm not comfortable putting those topical things on the pets. You can get away with it for, who knows, one, two applications, ten, and you might have a problem down the road. To me, it's not worth playing roulette. And while they are touted as safe, we find later on, as we have with many pharmaceuticals, that sometimes they aren't as safe as they have been promoted to be. And it may be a safe drug, it may not be. It's just one of those things that I'm not comfortable with. And now it's not even really working especially well. And a healthy pet doesn't attract fleas, and that's a myth that we absolutely must propagate. So if we have a healthy pet that's fed healthy food, has good exercise, and basically is not vaccinated too much, too often, generally speaking, or treated with natural medicines, they just don't seem to attract fleas, and the necessity of those topical products become unnecessary.
Okay. Well, I have them on, of course, I have them on this expensive food for sensitive skin, but that clearly isn't working.
Is that from the veterinarian?
I was on some with the vet, but I switched it out with something from Petco. And yesterday I was researching the barf diet.
Well, there you go. You're on the right track. And you might want some guidance on how to do that properly. You can contact my office or any other local holistic veterinarian to get assistance with that. And that's a good place to start, because whole foods is healthy for us and it's healthy for our pets, whether you're talking about any species whatsoever.
And we'll give Dr. Cannizzaro's website address and phone number at the end of the show, and we do want to get some other calls in. So thank you so much for your call.
Thank you very much.
Hi, you're on WMNF with Dr. Robin Cannizzaro on Talking Animals.
Hi, this is Celeste in Tampa.
Hi.
I can't say enough good about holistic medicine for animals. I've worked with animals for the last 20 years and discovered a homeopathic vet in the area with a dog who had demodectic mange and got really good results when she was a puppy. The vet had recommended putting her down, and I did some research and found used homeopathics for myself, and it worked beautifully on her. But I have a question. In Florida, with the heartworm problem we have, I have the heartworm nosodes, and I just can't bring myself to be brave enough to rely on the nosodes for heartworm prevention. What do you think about that?
I would completely and totally agree. I mean, the heartworm nosode is a misunderstanding of homeopathic medicine, and we don't know that that does truly protect them against heartworms. The myth that we need to dispel is not all dogs are susceptible to heartworm disease. However, we can't tell who is and who isn't. We have no way to measure that. So therefore, really, really important to, if your pet is healthy enough, to use every other month heartworm prevention. The monthly, every other month is safe to use. And when I say safe to use, it's still a drug, so you have to respect it as a drug. So I think it's very important that, follow the guidance of your holistic veterinarian, but I'm not comfortable with the heartworm nosode. I don't think that it's necessarily effective, not proven effective, and I realize that the heartworm prevention is a drug, but as far as protection in Florida and the commonness of that particular disease, it may be suitable. But again, you need to discuss that with your holistic veterinarian, because I don't know your dog's entire history.
Okay, we're going to move on, but thanks so much for your call. We got lots of calls and emails here, but thank you so much. Okay, in fact, one of the emails says, please tell people that cats that do not go outside don't need yearly shots. It's detrimental to them because we don't know what the vaccines are doing to them, and it's costly for people that can't afford it. Also remind people not to give dogs cooked bones, only raw bones. Any quick comment there, Dr. Cannizzaro?
Yes, Suzanne. I think those are points well made. We know that the annual vaccinations last a lot longer than a year. Puppy and kittenhood vaccines should be finished just as that, as puppies and kittens. The rabies vaccination is the only vaccine required by law, and so we are supposed to comply by the law, and they do recognize 3-year rabies vaccine as long as a 3-year vaccine is used. Cooked bones are definitely dangerous, very dangerous to give. Raw bones are okay to give, but again, I want you to consult your holistic veterinarian to make sure that's suitable for your dog. For cats, annual vaccinations are certainly not necessary, and certainly not necessary if they're indoor cats.
Okay, great. Thanks for that email. We have others to get to, but we also have a phone bank lit up here with phone calls, so let's take another one of those. Hi, you're on WMNF with Dr. Robin Cannizzaro on Talking Animals.
Hi, this is Chris in Tampa.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, I have a 1-year-old Doberman, Fawn Doberman, and he is really prone to folliculitis under his chin and down his whole front side. Is there anything besides antibiotics that could help treat that. I mean, it looks like, I mean, I'm not a doctor, I was a medic, but it looks like folliculitis, and there's pustules and there's a hair definitely inside them.
Right. A lot of skin ailments, if you improve diet to whole foods, and again, I'd consult your holistic veterinarian to have a proper balanced diet, that can be a good first start. Otherwise, absolutely, homeopathic medicine is very effective in treating skin problems, allergies, folliculitis, dermatitis, demodectic mange, as you heard the previous caller.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I would strongly advise alternatives to antibiotics. It'll only temporarily relieve the problem. And
right,
will and come back again.
And I don't want him to get a weakened immune system. From
absolutely, right. But there are better ways to go.
That's a pretty common problem with the Dobermans anyway, isn't it? Or is that a myth?
Not necessarily. I think we accept some things as common, but they are treatable and curable with homeopathic medicine.
Okay, thanks so much, Doctor.
Thanks so much
for
the call.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, going to another email here. Feffi, I may have mispronounced it, I'm sorry, our 8-year-old Shih Tzu, just returned from the vet today. We thought he had an infected right eye, but the vet says the tear duct has dried up. We got antibiotics and some drops. The drops, we are told, will have to be used for the remainder of his life. Is this common for Shih Tzus? Is there something other than the drops that may be done? Thanks.
Yes, there is a possibility, and please understand that no medicine modality can give guarantees for success of treatment. Generally speaking, if I understand your email correctly, you're probably talking about a type of autoimmune disease where the tear duct gets attacked, and it is reasonably common in Shih Tzus, but we shouldn't accept common as fine. The drops that you speak of that have to be used for remainder of life, I'm going to assume, is something called cyclosporine. That is actually a chemotherapy drug, so it's very important that you don't touch that to your hands at all, and it's not something that I would use or recommend in my practice. I do treat a lot of dry eye, which is really what you're talking about from what I understand in your email, and it is and can be successfully treated with homeopathic medicine and more natural topical eye treatments.
Okay, well, thanks for that email. We have another couple here, and we got a bunch of calls, and just I will ask, since we're in the home stretch here of our all-too-short edition of Talking Animals, as always, to just keep your questions very brief, if you could, for Dr. Cannizzaro. So let's take another one, put it on the air. Hi, you're on WMNF with Dr. Robin Cannizzaro on Talking Animals.
Hi, this is Ricky in Riverview.
Hi, Ricky.
Hi, I have a 12-year-old stray cat that had, it looked like she was failure one night. We took her to the emergency clinic. Long story short, they wanted me to sign off on $2,000 worth of procedures. I authorized $300. The charges were $299.75. The outcome is that my cat has a growth on her pancreas. That was 4 months ago. The clinic wanted me to put her down because they said I was being cruel to her. I took her home for kitty hospice, took her to my vet the next day when she survived the night. Is there anything I can do? She's still alive. She has lost a lot of weight.
It's a little bit difficult to say because I don't have, you know, enough information except that obviously your kitty is very sick. Holistic medicine can treat the most severe of diseases from cancer to hot spots. And it's certainly possible. I don't want to make any promises, but there's lots of hope out there. So if you'd like to contact us, then, you know, we'd be more than happy to review everything, make an appointment, and we can check into that if you would like. But it is a complex question, so I don't mean to short you, but it's difficult to say from the information you give. But obviously that's a serious ailment.
Yeah, the vet, we discussed possible surgery, but the outcome of her surviving because of her age wasn't great. So I was just wondering, you know, is there anything that I could do for her at home besides current vitamins? And I gave her on a tablespoon of tuna every
yes,
day.
Yes, that's difficult to answer because I take a case-by-case situation like that and see what it is that your goals are, how bad the situation is, what might be, you know, the best choices or combination of choices. But there are options out there, so feel free to explore to the, you know, other options.
Thanks for the call. And
Thank you.
Just in the sort of waning moments here, but let me just tell people to reach Dr. Cannizzaro. First of all, her website is holistic, but with a W, holisticvetcare.com. And the St. Pete office number is 727-528-0298. So we'll have time for maybe at least one more call. If you could just try to get to the question quickly, just so maybe we can even get one more in. So hi, you're on WMNF with Dr. Robin Cannizzaro on Talking Animals.
Hi, this is Bill from Clearwater.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Hi, when I used to live out in California, all my friends that had animals, I didn't have any out there, but they used to string together eucalyptus buttons for little necklaces for their dogs and cats to ward off fleas, and they would put a eucalyptus button in the corner of each room in their house, and they never seemed to have fleas. And they said it was pretty common practice out there to do that because the fleas hate the vapors from eucalyptus.
That's pretty typical. There's a lot of herbs that fleas are repelled, and eucalyptus is certainly one of them. As long as your pet is not sensitive to the eucalyptus, sometimes it's a little strong as a necklace around the neck. That can irritate the eyes. As long as that's not happening, it shouldn't be a problem. That should be perfectly fine.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Okay, we're going to, Gilda Lily, I'm going to try to take one more. We're actually sort of over time here, but let's take one more. If we could keep it very brief, I'd appreciate it. You're on WMNF with Dr. Robin Canizero on Talking Animals.
Hi, Doctor. My name is Debbie. I'm from St. Petersburg.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. I've got a good one for you. I'm hoping there is something that will cure these kind of things. I'm speaking of tick-borne illnesses. Is there something natural?
Homeopathy can treat tick-borne illnesses, and I've done so successfully with homeopathic medicine. So, again, if you'd like to contact us, I'd be more than happy to address that. But, yes, I have treated tick-borne illness, and, yes, there are alternatives to the medications.
Thank God. Would it work for people as well?
Yes, absolutely. And there is a local homeopath in St. Petersburg, Dr. Martin Keene, at Classical Medicine of St. Petersburg on 9th Street.
Oh, great. Right near my house.
Yeah.
Dr. Martin
Keene, K-E-A-N-E.
Keene.
Okay, thanks so much for
the
call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, we have just about reached the end of our time here with Dr. Canizero. Again, just as a reminder, her website address is holistic with a W, holisticvetcare.com, and the office number is 727-528-0298. So, Dr. Canizero, of course, the time is
I know.
We didn't get into a lot of things that we would have liked to, but I think you were able to help a lot of folks who called in and who were listening.
I certainly hope so.
So we appreciate that, and hopefully we can get you back on another time and take more questions and get to more of the conversation that we originally had in mind. But I think we use our time wisely here to help the folks out there listening to WMNF. So we'll say thanks again to Dr. Robin Canizero and her nice French bulldogs, Travis and Tinkerbell, who accompanied her. And we'll hopefully see you again on Talking Animals.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your having me.
All right. So I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. The show website is talkinganimals.net, which I hope you'll visit to sign up for our email newsletter. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and elsewhere. Check out our new MySpace. We need some friends, folks. We need some friends just like you. Make suggestions for future guests or topics and more. That's all found on talkinganimals.net. And it's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, a copy of Margaret Cho's CD Assassin, signed by Margaret, no less. She's a past guest on Talking Animals. To the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune of sorts, which is also a nod to a certain band doing a certain reunion show on Monday. It's Name That Animal Tune on WMNF. Alright, we've just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. Well, it looks like we might have, Hi, can you name that animal tune?
Hey, is it Moby Dick?
It sure is. What's your first name?
Alright, Don.
Don, okay, Don. I'm going to put you on hold and come back and get your information. It is Moby Dick, and of course Led Zeppelin's playing on Monday, so... And that's kind of a whale song. It's kind of an animal song. We have loose standards. Okay, so I'll come back and get your information once the show's over, Don. Thanks
cool,
for the plan.
Man.
Okay. So we've just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. The program now airs twice a month, specifically the first and second Wednesday of each month. So we'll be back next Wednesday, December 12th, when our guest will be Tony La Russa. I hope you'll join me then. Please, meanwhile, visit our website, talkinganimals.net. And while you're there, please sign up for our email newsletter. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Happy Hanukkah. Please stay tuned for NPR News, followed by Democracy Now! I'll return for another edition of Talking Animals December 12th on WMNF Tampa. We're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal song. This one spotlights an artist who will be performing a concert in benefit for WMNF this Friday night at the Musicale. It's Christine Kane with Four Legs Good, Two Legs Bad, right here on WMNF Tampa. We'll see you next week.
Jenny Samaria, back in 1999 when she was living in a town called Bend. dog was in a dumpster and she went and got it neutered, and Mariah's had it made since then. Then a little while later at a truck stop in Decatur, she saved a skinny cat she called Clyde. And then she found another and another and another. If you add it all together, there's five. And oh, to be a dog or cat who's living in a house like that, where sofas become scratching pads, four legs good, two legs bad. Jenny met Bob, a man, not a dog, and her mother had a moment of peace. Jenny thought he was her soulmate, and a year after their first date, he moved in and started sharing her life.